Good afternoon, Lee, and afternoon, listeners.
All right, what have you got your eye on this week?
Oh, we've got something really different this week, Lee. We have a book that's been self-published by a Hobart author who is a recently retired academic from the university in Hobart. Brian Stafford is his name. And Brian has an interest in all kinds of wind-powered maritime vessels.
Yeah.
He is a very keen yachty, but he's also interested in the history of sailing ships. And Brian has written a book called The Great Wind Ships, How Sailing Ships Made the Modern World. This is non-fiction. This is a history book. Brian has gone back to around about the 1400s and then investigated how sailing ships developed in terms of their structure, the manners in which they were sailed. So from the 1400s all the way through into the 1900s, where the last really big windjammers, as they were called, were the last sort of example of commercial sailing vessels. And in the process, he also weaves into the account the role that sailing ships played in the development of the world, particularly the way the European colonial countries had to use sailing ships to expand or go looking for empires and colonies, and how they found those colonies wherever they were, and how they administered them and remained in contact with the colonies, etc., etc.
It's really something that we don't appreciate this day and age, is the work and the time and the effort that you know, these day and age, you just fill up a boat with petrol, turn it on and off you go. But these big wind ships, unbelievable.
They were unbelievable. And Brian has catalogued the way they developed from quite small, rudimentary vessels, and over a period of time with experimentation and access to new materials to make them out of, they went from little ships that were not much bigger than about 50 foot long with one or two masts, and these little ships sailed from Spain all the way across to what we now refer to as North and South America, little ships that came out to Australia, something like the Lady Nelson in Hobart, you know, that's only, you know, barely 100 foot long, and that sailed all the way from London to New Holland, or Australia as it was then called, right through to, as I say, probably the pinnacle of sailing ship design in terms of speed, of course, are the clippers, and a lot of people will know the name the clipper and have a rough idea in their eye, in their mind, as to what constituted a T-clipper. And then the final form of that evolution to the point of the big four- and five-mast windjammers that could load an awful lot of cargo, and in certain trading routes, they could actually, up until the outbreak of the Second World War, they could economically compete with steamships and other motor vessels that were by now running those trade routes.
Now, you're no stranger to sailing. You try your hand at the Julie Burgess on a regular basis, don't you?
Yes, I do.
How many pieces to the sail set does that have on it?
Well, Julie Burgess has three foresails, a main mast, a mainsail, a main topsail, and a mizzen, and a mizzen topsail. So we've got we have seven sails.
So seven sails. The reason I ask this is because on the front cover of Brian Stafford's The Great Wind Ship is this great big, and there must be about 30 or 40 pieces to the sail set on there. Like, just that in itself is enough cargo to
Brian has selected, you know, arguably one of the best paintings of a clipper. This particular illustration has been used over and over and over again to show what the famous T-clippers were like when they were running before the wind, and recording these just absolutely staggering daily distances.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're quite right. Little Julie Burgess, we have seven sails. A clipper, probably by the time you look at all the masts, all the sails set, when the winds were favourable, you're probably looking at about 40 sails or maybe even 50 sails rigged on those masts. Yeah, it's just extraordinary. And he's done a phenomenal job. There are some beautiful illustrations. There is a whole range of interesting graphs to show how when the ships were built and what they were made out of, and the difference between the number of wooden ships that were being built and the number of iron or steel ships that were being built over a certain period of time. And the book also, because it's looking at the way ships developed and their role in the world's history and economy, there's also an amazing amount of history in this, very much written for the layperson.
Yep.
So you get a really interesting insight into the development of the Portuguese Empire, the Spanish Empire, the Dutch Empire, the English Empire, and also some of the less than savoury things that sailing ships had to do, namely, probably arguably the worst thing, the slave trade. And then in the late 1800s, something called the coolie trade, which was basically another form of slavery. And Brian weaves that into the account, and he's done a phenomenal job. It's very easy to read, well illustrated, and for anyone that's got an interest in ships, they'll find it really good reading. For those that might want to have a bit of an understanding as to the role ships played in shaping the world over a period of about 450, 500 years, it's a really interesting read, and he's done a great job.
Excellent. It's Brian Stafford, The Great Windships, and you can grab yourself a copy right now from Devonport Bookshop and all great book retailers, How Sailing Ships Made the Modern World. And you've got somebody coming to visit the Devonport Bookshop in the very near future, don't you?
We have, Lee, yes, we have. Local author, Amanda O'Shea, she lives on the northwest coast, and she's written a little children's book called Rocky. Now, Rocky is a story set, loosely speaking, in Deloraine, and it's about a young boy growing up, going through primary school, and he's having a bit of a battle. But it's a great read, and Amanda is going to be here in the bookshop on Saturday the 26th of November at 11 o'clock, and she's going to read a chapter or so out of the book and then talk to anyone who wants to have a yarn to her, and hopefully people will like to buy a copy of her book, and she'll sign them.
Beautiful. All right. Always something going on at Devonport Bookshop. Tim Gott, thank you for your time today.
Thanks very much for having me, Lee. Thank you.